Blog Talk Radio.
Deontay Wilder hit Dominic Brazil, and momentarily I thought he actually did kill him. So I'm glad he didn't kill him, but he rendered him severely unconscious for a moment, And so the knockout, even though, you know, it was expected to a certain extent, you know, most people expected Deontay to eventually is the optimal word, bomb Brazil out of there, but he got him out fairly quickly, obviously, within one round.
Yeah.
And obviously, like that, when, you know, Deontay Wilder hits a big guy like that, you know what I mean? It was a devastating knockout, but then magnified by the talk, magnified by the size of Dominic Brazil. So it did live up to its height as far as a highlight goes and as far as a very, very conclusive and concussive ending to their feud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once he hit him and he went down, I thought he would, like you, I thought he was gone. He didn't move, and then when he did get up,
God.
I couldn't believe yeah, he was wobbling. But yet he after the fight he's trying to say the referee stopped the fight too soon. Well, the referee tried to keep you alive, son.
Yeah,
and
here's the thing too. What is too soon? I counted, you know, obviously the commentator counting. Well, he counted
right.
Because of Tyson Fury. I mean, it's just simple as
sure.
that. So he wanted to get the very last second to get his faculties together. But in boxing, we have a 10 count. Brazil did not beat the 10 count. So if he thinks the ref stopped it too early, then he has to recognize, well, you know what, I didn't beat the 10 count. He wasn't on his feet straight up, erect, at the count of 10. At the count of 10,
right.
He was coming off of one knee on a two knee. So I guess his opinion, he should have been a 12 count because he was on both of his feet by knocking the ropes, had to stop him from falling over. So, no. But Brazil's a tough, tough, brave guy. You know what I mean? You got to give him respect. But, no, absolutely. He was
right.
he was decapitated.
Yeah. You know, Eddie Hearn has come out immediately afterwards, of course, and said that he thinks that Wilder and Joshua will happen sometime this year. What's your thoughts on that one?
You know, I don't think so. Unfortunately, I don't think it will happen. Just because there's so much money involved and there's so many different players at stake, as well as two different television platforms, so I think that makes it very difficult. For it to happen. At the same time, I think there's almost too much money for it not to happen. But, of course, Eddie Hearn is going to come out and say that specifically in light of Deontay Wilder having a more thunderous performance against Dominic Brazil than Joshua did. Joshua broke him down over seven rounds, but the way Deontay Wilder beat him is going to draw comparisons. And so, you know, obviously Eddie Hearn was going to have to answer some questions in regards to that fight.
I didn't understand. I know that Hearn wants to do it for the money, but to come
right.
out that fast, it just didn't make sense.
Chances are, though, in all honesty, chances are as soon as that fight was concluded with Wilder in Brazil, chances are microphones were stuck in his face and saying, hey, you saw what Wilder just did to Brazil. When is that fight going to happen? So chances are he was probably responding to a question. And I think sometimes, you know, when we get these sound bites and quotes, we get them out of context a lot of times. And these fighters and, you know, the people associated with them, what we're not getting is the question that was asked a lot of times. And these guys are really just responding to questions, I believe.
For the, you know, tomorrow night's show, we have Dan Birmingham on, and we're going to have him on our next show here. But I talked to Dan today, and boy, are they excited about, they've got a presser coming up with Manny. And they are excited about this fight. I've never seen it. Even when Winky was fighting, it didn't seem like there was as much electricity going through the gym as it was this week. Dan is, of course, his usual mild manner low-key self, but he's you can tell that he is really looking forward to this fight, and Keith is just he's ready. He's getting himself ready. And, the shame of it is, I want to give everybody an update on that. The shame of it is that one of his sparring partners that he likes to use is Edner Cherry. And, of course, Edner's had to retire because of his health problems. As a matter of fact, they had to put a defibrillator in because his heart was not working right. But I did talk to Edner on Friday, and I talked to Miss Elizabeth, and he is – finally gotten clearance to go back to his job in 3 weeks. She says he's, of course, half taking the doctor's advice and half trying to figure out how he could do things. He's, you know, we have a love for the guy because of things that he's done for our family and with our family. So we try to counsel him to just take it easy. It's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. And, you know, he's talking about training, which is going to be nice. He'll be training boxers.
Oh wow, that'd be great actually.
But he could have used the definitely could have used the extra cash with sparring with Keith to get himself to get him ready. So I understand Malik is going to stand in for him and. That should be. I'm going to go up tomorrow again to see them spar. Malik is fast. I mean, his head.
Oh wow! Okay.
Speed is absolutely out of this world.
Well, that's good because Manny's fast. Even at 40, Manny's fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Keith is absolutely going to need that.
Yeah, because you know he. I thought he had slipped the last fight, but this last fight I saw, he looks like he's incredible. I mean, this guy's 40 years old, 40 plus.
You know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is I do see slipping Jermaine. You know what I mean? He's not quite as dynamic as he used to be. His chin has a tendency, his chin and his fist have a tendency to lead his feet as opposed to moving in unison. That's what happens when we get older. I know I'm an older guy who trades, right? So I know. The thing that makes Manny so phenomenal is that even with this slippage, which can be seen, he is still competing for a title against a young lion like Keith Thurman, and is probably going to go into the fight as a not so sizable underdog. It's going to be close to a pick'em fight. So I think that says a lot about Manny. He's also been able to, you know, for a guy whose style was based on his athleticism, he's also been able to change his style to accommodate his tempered athleticism as well, which speaks to his boxing and fight IQ. So, Manny's a phenom. And I love Keith. Keith, I love you. But Keith absolutely has his work cut out for him.
Yeah. It's, we're going to call our next standing guest, Bob G. Bob G was a former MMA fighter, and he's going to update that Armstead couldn't make it tonight, so he's going to fill in for him and let me just redo this thing here. The other question I had for you was, did you see who who's going to be on the undercard for the Thurman fight? Julio Cesar Chavez is going to be the on the undercard of that fight. I don't know if
you know what
that.
I like to see the over under. On what the odds are if he actually makes it to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Julio Cesar Chavez. Like, I mean, it'd be great, but I'd be surprised if he shows up to scratch. He hasn't been able to get through a training camp since the Canelo fight, essentially. So, I don't know. It'd be, you know, he's a draw still somewhat because of his name. But, you know, I don't know if he's capable. He hasn't proved the capacity to make it a scratch in the last couple of years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I noticed something, and I thought Joey would have called us, but, you know, they had a big fight out at Hocus, and
I didn't know
and,
that.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
How are you, sir?
On the air here with Ty and myself.
Excellent.
And, what's going on,
Bob?
How you doing, Ty?
Bob, get,
good.
Can you give our audience a quick background on you?
Sure. Yeah. Bob Gilstrap, trained underneath Maurice Smith, out of Washington State.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, competitor in UFC 17, lost to Carlos Newton. Hawaiian National Super Brawl champion, Canadian Shoot Fighting champion, Pacific Northwest Kickboxing champion, but that was an amateur title. And competitor in the Vale Tudo over in Brazil. And that was pretty much, I guess, the accolades.
Great.
The,
wow. I know you don't know about Ty, but Ty also is a huge UFC MMA fight follower and actually trains in Muay Thai.
Excellent, yeah. Great,
well.
Great place.
So maybe you
Bob, I was going to ask you what you...
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I lost you. What'd you say?
But, I said, go ahead, Ty.
Oh, I was just going to say, Bob, what is your base? Is it kickboxing, Muay Thai?
Yeah, I would. Underneath Maurice, it would be a Muay Thai style.
Okay.
But I guess almost an American kickboxing, if you will. I mean, we train with a lot of awesome Thai coaches.
But
fought a lot of the times in the States, they would take away the elbows anyway. Even at the pro level, you know, I've had it done to me literally at, you know, train for 6-8 weeks for a fight and then get there that night. Like, oh, by the way, we're not going to let you throw elbows. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Bob, what is all this press that Whitaker's trying to get with McGregor? Can you enlighten our fans on that?
You'll have to repeat yourself.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said Robert Whitaker seems to be trying to take on Conor McGregor and wants to I guess he wants to know why he has a UFC record. He feels that he was a better fighter and should hold the record more than be the title holder more than O'Connor.
Than Conor McGregor?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say anybody calling anybody out, and today being the age of social media, you can actually do that versus back in, you know, when we first started this stuff, you got contacted and then prepared for a fight and there was no smack talking in between. Behind everything today, my guess would be money first off, you know, notoriety, you know, so he's trying to get a payday kind of like McGregor did against, Mayweather. You know what I mean? That would be, cause this is actually the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and
you know
so
what, you know what? A little earlier too, Bob, before you first came on, I spoke of when we get these sound bites and quotes. A lot of times, most of the time, we get them out of context, and we just hear them and don't know whether there was a question associated. Being as though that Conor lost his last fight and is fighting at 155, and Bobby, I want to call him Bobby Nux, but I know he doesn't like that, and Robert Whitaker. is fighting up at 185. They're two weight classes apart. With Bobby having the, you know, the title defense coming against Israel, I would assume that if something popped off between them, it just somebody asked the question on social media, someone responded, and then it led to, you know, a verbal confrontation, so to speak. Obviously, right now, from a standpoint of, you know, competition and athleticism, these guys are absolutely not in each other's crosshairs.
No, I don't see that happening at all. But again,
yeah,
you know, there's always asking the hypothetical and, you know, any fan behind any fighters, you know, my fighter can beat your fighter, you know, kind of thing. So,
and then next
yeah.
thing you know, we got a social media feud,
sure.
to lead nowhere.
Right.
Unlike the feud between Paulie Malignaggi and Artem Lobov, that is actually going to lead somewhere. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't,
Paulie's name even come up in. Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
That was Paulie who?
Malignaggi.
I haven't heard about that one either. Yeah, Malignaggi.
Yeah,
he's fighting in the bare knuckle
against Artem Lobov, Conor McGregor, teammate, former UFC fighter.
Oh, okay. I see that
knuckles.
Now.
And you remember Conor McGregor had that incident with the boxer that was Paulie Malignaggi,
okay.
with the sparring clips. And so it subsequently has matriculated to Artem Lobov. They've had a couple face-to-face. One time Paulie slapped Artem before being separated, obviously. And Paulie was really they had a presser for the upcoming event, which is – around June 20-something or another, Paulie was very vulgar, talked about putting Artem in a coma, spit at him, tried to hit him with the microphone. So, but this one's actually going to end in a fight. So,
at a press conference, this happened.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. It's pretty over
wow.
the top.
Yeah. Bob, why don't you enlighten our audience on the what's coming up in UFC this in this next week or so.
That was a question for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The as far as next week, you know, you got Cowboy Cerrone going against I'm brain farting.
Tony
right
Ferguson.
Now, sorry. Yeah, Tony Ferguson. Yeah, yeah. And that is going to be, you know, epic. Tony's coming off a bit of a layoff due to some, court stuff. I don't know too many details about that. So he's going to be hungry. He's going to be fresh. Cerrone, you know, I had a gym out in Colorado not too long ago, and ran into him a couple times. I like that guy. I like him a lot. He's got a class act. He's a tough as nails man. But coming from a guy that will take a fight on short notice, Cerrone's just badass. I mean, it's a win-win in my opinion for Cerrone, because if he loses, you know, it's still Donald. He's a tough guy. He's still a contender. They'll keep him in there. Ferguson's got, you know, he's in the big, you know, win-loss category, because if he loses, that's not good for Tony coming off that big of a layoff and being as fresh as he is. But I think that would be a very exciting.
Ferguson has every right to call himself the uncrowned UFC lightweight champ. He was the interim champ. He got stripped when he couldn't make the fight with Khabib. Ferguson is on, I don't know, a 10, 11 fight, 12 fight win streak. He hasn't lost in, you know,
years. He's a beast.
He is. Subsequently, Cowboy Cerrone against Al Iaquinta has probably looked better than I have ever seen him, even in his youth. He just, I mean, just composed. And, you know, I'm watching that fight, and I'm like, you know, if Cowboy starts slow, and if Iaquinta doesn't get up, you know, out of there early, well, you know, Cowboy's a Muay Thai guy. We don't start
yeah.
in the first round all the time. You know what I mean? The
right.
Cowboy's going to warm up, and he's going to start picking him apart. But
right.
the damage he put on Iaquinta, I knew Iaquinta was tough, but the damage he put on Iaquinta was unbelievable. And with Tony coming off of that layoff, and really only having that one fight since he had that surgery on his leg against a cowboy who was back at 155, extremely sharp, and who, I mean, who really looks like he's, you know, kind of matured as a fighter, where things have slowed down for him a little bit in the octagon. That could be a tall proposition for Tony, and I agree with you, Bob. Cowboy has a lot less to lose than Tony does, although if Cowboy wins, he can go ahead and get that long-awaited shot because, you know, it's missing time at the lightweight title, potentially against Dustin Poirier in a matchup that I think kind of favors Cowboy. So could be interesting. Then again, you know, Khabib still, you know, has to come back and fight Dustin.
Right.
But, yeah, Cowboy looked good. Hey, Bob, did you get to see Rafael Dos Anjos against Kevin Lee?
I did not, no.
I didn't either, but when I read the result of Kevin Lee being submitted in the fourth round and then read a little deeper that his cardio kind of betrayed him, I was not surprised. I was not surprised.
Cardio's, you know, there's let's see if I can get that quote a buddy of mine uses. I'd rather fight a black belt with poor conditioning than a purple belt that's, you know, very conditioned kind of thing. You know what I mean? It always, you know, conditioning is such a huge factor, you know, wearing people out. You know, I mean, back in my day, you know, and I did do some fights when they changed the rules, but, you know, I was still fighting 30-minute rounds. You know, several opponents.
Oh, God, yeah, UFC 17, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know, I was in the last tournament-style UFC, so we had to fight twice that night, and I'm coming off the Valet Tudeau where it was three fights in one night, and I only made it to the second round, you know, and 30-minute rounds, one guy enters. So when they give these guys, you know, that break, it really kind of helps a lot of people get a second and even third wind, depending on the round, and rest up. Versus,
right.
You know, when they're super strong and bulky, you give me 30 minutes
exactly.
straight. Well, eventually they'll tire. But
yep.
these breaks and so conditioning, man, that plays such a critical role in the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because one thing, whether it's boxing or MMA, what happens obviously is as fighters tire, any combat sport, as you tire, your mind starts to process a little bit more slowly. You see fighters' forms come apart. They're not holding their hands as high. They look a little ragged in their form. And, you know, in boxing, that's why they, you know, they always say class tells over time. You know, someone
right.
can come out and look really dynamic in a boxing match for two or three rounds. It's the same thing in MMA. They can come out and look really dynamic for those first 3 to 5 minutes. But
sure.
then when you get into the, you know, the second round and everything starts to settle down, you can see when someone's form is coming apart because their cardio is not quite up to par. And you can actually see where they were reacting and their instinct was taking over. They're starting to process. It's just processing much slower. It's a funny thing. Not to mention, you're more susceptible to getting knocked out now too. So,
absolutely. I mean, you know, I was working with some boxers today and some new guys, and you know, toughest thing in the sport is just keeping your hands up.
Yes.
Through the whole fight, and I'm just mm-hmm. you know, and I tell them, I constantly talk like I'm their opponent. I go, I'm just waiting for that mistake. You know, just drop it a little bit. That's all I need. You know, I'm going to use the body shots. I want you to bring those hands down. You know, I want you to give me an easy target. I don't want to punch you through your hand, you know. So,
Bob, what's your favorite sport to train? Which out of all the disciplines, which one did you enjoy training or teaching most?
Definitely kickboxing. I'm a stand up guy. I prefer that. Like I don't. I don't have the best.
You have to be a striker.
yeah. I just love that style. It's you know, the fight of the night kind of stuff. Versus, I don't have the best. I was you know, to get a little personal, I was a short little fat kid coming out of high school. You know what I mean? Literally, my nickname was Fat Kid. So when I fought the UFC. That was the first time since like fifth grade my body was under 200 pounds. I struggled with all that. And so my wrestling, I tried wrestling out of high school, and it just wasn't my thing. I was decent once you got me to the ground, but my transitions and my takedown defense were not all that great. So if I could catch you with an uppercut or a hook or a knee coming in, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for those big bangs. I like it probably because it was easier for me, I guess. We all kind of tend to like the stuff we're easy at, I guess. But then the grappling too, once you learn that, it's a sea of knowledge that, you know,
right.
As I went through it, the more I learned, the more I realized I didn't know, you know, it's yeah. Phenomenal. Yeah.
Hey guys, we're joined our special guest tonight. This guy is, one of the nicest interviews we always have. He's, the WBA champion. Mr. New Ray Robinson.
My
dude. How you doing, Ray?
That would never get old, man. I love that. Good. I gotta start telling them, man, I don't want no ring announcers other than you guys.
Ray, tell us about you've got a nice fight coming up on June 1st. Why don't you tell our fans all about it? See if they can't, some of them in the New York area can't attend it.
Yeah, it's going to be at Madison Square Garden, June 1st against Josh Kelly, up-and-coming fighter. I just can't wait to put on a show for the New York fans, and we have some Philly fans come out also, I'm sure, and they'll put on the show.
All right. Seeing as though my man Ray undersold it a little bit, I'm going to tell you what this event is. This event is Anthony Joshua's stateside premiere against Andy Ruiz. So this is a huge event, sold out very quickly. And Ray was blessed enough to land what is a major slot against a guy in the UK they believe is an up-and-coming welterweight star. Huge fight, huge event, huge slot for Ray. Ray, congratulations, man. I was so happy, extremely happy when I read that. What's going on? What's got your career kind of upticked in activity and level of opponents? How did that turn around for you?
Honestly, I believe it started off with me fighting on ESPN when I fought that the guy, and I think that I actually won that fight, so I believe that Eddie Hearn feels as though that this guy was up to the task to give me a good fight, and I think he's seen how the fans and the people reacted to me winning that fight, he thought also, and I think he knew it would be a good card. I think both our styles match up really good together, and yeah, man, I can't wait to put on a show.
Ray, do you feel like, you know, I mean, you've been kind of a promotional free agent. You hadn't been, obviously, with one of the big promotional companies. Do you feel that's benefited you finally? Because your last three fights were PBC, ESPN, and now DAZN. So you have literally hit all of the three major platforms, you know, when you were coming from essentially as a non-promotional as a promotional free agent. It seems like everything is kind of those moves, strategically, I should say, have worked out for you. How do you feel about that?
You can look at it both ways, you know. Me fighting on, me being a free agent is awesome because I can jump around and get on everyone's card. But also, I'm always going to someone's backyard. And when I say backyard, I mean their promoter's card. You know, obviously, they don't want their fighters losing and things like that. So I'm always like the underdog. And I don't mind being underdog from Philly. But going on to someone else's, you know, card, and I'm sure I will always be like the B fighter towards their promotion outlook. But like I said, I'm just making it work, man. I'm working extremely hard, and me getting this opportunity to fight on different cards, I think it did work out perfect, and things happen for a reason, and it's actually working out for me.
Have you had an opportunity to assess Josh Kelly as an opponent as of yet?
Yeah, I always do my homework as soon as I get the phone call. And like I said before, I feel as though that our styles match up really good. And I was excited to take this fight, man. You can obviously go back and look at my recent fights, man. I never back down from a challenge. It actually makes me train harder. And like I said, I'm a throwback fighter. If they feel as though that this guy is up and coming best fighter, then, you know, I want parts, and I want him to prove it to me.
I like your style.
Bob, do you have any questions?
No, I'm kind of reading the bios right now. I'm just excited hearing it. You know, I'm old and retired. Just so to hear that hunger in his voice, man, that just gets me fired up.
Yeah, Ray's
everybody,
hungry,
man. Oh yeah. Just so everybody has some background. When we first met Ray, Ray was taking fights in Wilmington, Delaware. Actually, Dover Downs, in Delaware,
yeah.
And then moved up to Wilmington, Delaware, and then he moved up. And was really on his way to a title fight when he had an accident that put him out of service for quite a bit. And now to see him come back in such a strong fashion is just it's just amazing to all of us. And I know all our listeners are keeping you a good thought for you, Ray. Please don't get in any accidents on the way up. But,
no, we're not, man. I know, man. I make sure I barely even drive, you know. I mean, I agree, man. I'm scared to death behind the wheel.
Yeah. In addition to his fight dossier, Ray is also a trainer and has a gym in up on Street Road in Philadelphia. Ray, why don't you tell everybody about that, too?
Yeah, I got a gym at 7208 Hibbs Lane, and I do personal training. You can always inbox me on Instagram or Facebook, The New Ray Robinson. Come check me out if you want to get your butt kicked and learn some stuff and have some fun. Always inbox.
Hey Ray,
yeah.
What street is that again?
It's called Hibbs Lane.
What part of Philly is that in?
That's in Levittown,
up in the Northeast.
Levittown, PA.
Oh yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. Because I'm actually on
95. You can get right off.
I'm in Philly in Philly like 4 days a week right now shooting this project. So maybe I'll be able to get a break and stop by.
Yeah, man. Definitely,
out,
man. And definitely, I just want to let everybody know too. Also, I make house calls too. I go. It's a little bit more expensive than coming to me, but I also make house calls for the business, the really busy business people. They don't have time to head to the gym. I make house calls. I train them at their house and do pads and exercises, basically whatever they want. So always inbox me.
Mm-hmm. Good. Ray, this is not a whim. This has been a long time coming, and I'm sure that you're going to be very successful up in New York, because you've always been a success with everything you've done. Once you get past this, who's managing you now?
Who's what?
Who's your manager now? What management company?
Dave McWhorter. Dave McWhorter, Split Management. Dave McWhorter, he's my manager, and after this, man, we, you know, honestly, staying focused at the task at hand. We got to get past Josh Kelly, but after this, hopefully, we can get things rolling. Coming out of camp, you know, me coming off that fight, and then I'm coming right back and got right back into camp. It's almost like a snowball effect, right? So it's like going downhill, man. And you know, I didn't have to. I came in camp basically in shape, you know. And the difference is that he also just had a fight too, and this is the difference of me coming out of camp. I was coming out of camp facing the number one guy in the world, and him coming out of camp facing someone that we really don't know. So it's two training camps is just totally different, you know, and that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the continued activity allows you to be sharp, man.
Exactly. And honestly, and that's the only thing that has been going on is me getting sharper. And that's the, you know, that's scary, man, because, I mean, and not only that, you get relaxed, you get more relaxed, you start seeing things a lot better and things like that. So I'm actually, the phone call couldn't have came at the more perfect time. And it's so funny because I thought I'd let you guys know before, my girlfriend boxed. And so right after my fight, she fought in the gold gloves and all that good stuff too. And so right after my fight, I had to stay. I stayed right into training camp because she didn't fight yet. So for 2 weeks, you know, I fought that Saturday. That Sunday, I woke up. We went running. I sparred that Monday, without even me not knowing about this fight yet. And then right after that, we got the phone call, and I was like, "This is like literally perfect because I'm literally still in the gym." So it was just like things happen for a reason. So I think I'm gonna be really sharp, man. I'm excited, and I mean everyone knows like no fighters like doing back to back camps, but I feel like the first camp was so good, and then this had me getting this type of opportunity was a blessing. So I had to hop all over it, man. Like I said before, man, you can't get to a world title until you dream on the sideline. So I definitely wasn't passing up the opportunity. Nope. So.
And for what it's worth, congratulations on Madison Square Garden. I mean, just meeting you right
now.
Whoa, man. I'm proud of you right now, you know.
Thank you.
That's
amazing, man. I can't wait. I actually got the original Sugar Ray Robinson. I got his poster when he fought at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
So I actually get my poster. Yeah, I got a man. Kelly got a poster at Madison Square Garden. So I'm gonna get that blown
as a big
poster.
Bro.
Yeah,
wow.
Get them framed in my sunroom. That's where the other posters is in my sunroom.
Hey.
So I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
So, Ray, can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
Oh. Okay, coming out the off the last fight, talking about the training camp. Like, how I didn't see the fight itself, but how did you feel? I mean, were you very banged up? Did you need much recovery?
No. I wasn't banged up whatsoever. I didn't. The thing is that the guy's style was he wanted to go to war, and he was that type of fighter. And I just did one-on-one boxing, you know, hit, not get hit type of thing. And I feel as though that the less time you get hit, the more recovery, and you don't got to worry about being all injured and things like that. I got out of the fight without no cuts, no bruising. I was a little sore. But you're getting right back into the gym on that Monday, kind of worked the kinks out. I went to go. I got a massage therapy guy. He helped me out, get all the acid stuff out of me. And I was like, you know, ready to go, man. I mean, they could have called me 3 weeks, you know, before that. Because, I mean, it was amazing because I got about a 7 to 8 week camp for my last fight. Then this camp, I got a 6 week camp. So it was just like, it was like literally amazing. It's so weird because I never, ever in all my fights, I never normally get more than 4 weeks in camp. So,
that's
why I was trying to explain to people. It's like, that's why y'all starting to see the best Ray Robinsons because you giving me time. You treat me like a professional now. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm happy
What they like to do is give
happening.
You a long layoff, then call you on short notice, which is absolutely the worst thing you can do for your skills.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. Everybody's, you just got to stay ready. But, no, any athlete knows that you can't stay fight ready. There's no way.
No.
It's just insane. You know what I'm saying? It just can't happen. You know, that's not reality. So
it's easy to say stay ready when you're sitting on the couch.
Oh, of course. You know what I'm saying? High behind the computer.
Yeah, it must be really nice, Ray, when you don't have to sit back and sell your own tickets to the fight that you've got somebody out there working for you. And
you never lie. Sometimes. I mean, you because the thing is, you're running ragged because I train sometimes 3 to 4 times a day, and I'm beat after that, and then I still gotta go over here to this place to get this guy tickets and run over here. But my girl does an amazing job, man. The way she wears different hats, man, is insane, and she makes my outfits. She you know, teacher has done for me. So it's like, you know, I lucked up in life, so I can't complain. So that's why I train so hard, work so hard, so we can make it a little easier for everybody.
Yeah, now I know that she's probably a seamstress, so she can just on the back of that, the new Ray Robinson on the back.
Yes.
The new
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'd like you to put, brought to you by Fightin' Words.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Look at you. Not brought to you by her, but by Fightin' Words. Okay. You going to pay the seamstress, bro? If I'm right, that's what I'm asking. You going to pay the seamstress, bro?
Yeah, sure.
That
is awesome.
I'm gonna pass that on to my northern contingent that live in Delaware.
Business, so yeah, you don't have to pay her, bro. You have to pay her.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't make dollars, don't make sense. Got to pay.
Done. I told you she can fight too, man. So you better be careful.
Yeah, bro, you try to get something for free.
But Ray, it really is amazing to see the guys that you started out with that back in Wilmington. Most of those guys now have retired, and here you are moving all the way up, and it shows that you have not only the ability to do it, but you have the fortitude to do it. And like you say, you're training four times a day. I mean, that's just amazing, and I'm sure that our listeners out there probably have some comments that we'll be getting in on the on our website. And then when we do, I will call you or I'll text them up to you.
Yeah,
and,
definitely. Yeah, man, I feel as though that I'm 33 now, but I feel like this is my prime, man. I think you almost don't understand and appreciate hard work. You know, I mean, it's insane how much you know, around 33, you wouldn't think that this is your prime and this is, but you appreciate hard work and dedication. And once you get a family and buy a house and things like that, they come first. And so, I mean, it's really amazing. The only thing is you appreciate stretching more too, right?
That's a veteran fighter talking.
I love stretching. I was like, God, picture me. I never thought in my life I would love stretching as much as I do now. And I appreciate it. But I love it. Man. I love it.
That's great. Well, Ray, we're gonna have you back on after June 1st, and
absolutely,
we can announce the size of that belt that you're gonna win, and
yes.
We certainly always appreciate your being on with us. You're always a great interview, and we really appreciate your friendship over the years. I mean, it's like 5 years.
Thank you guys for always having
me.
It's so funny too. Yeah. My girl was a. As soon as I got the phone call, my girl was like, don't forget, you got to call him. I was like, all right, I will, relax. They paying you, you know? I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe
it was awesome.
Next time that you come on, maybe we could interview her also.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is she fighting at the Sugar House? Or I know you had a couple fights at the Sugar House.
I know.
And 1300.
Yeah, she's still amateur, but she fought in the Golden Gloves, and she won the Pennsylvania Golden Gloves and things like that last year and stuff. So yeah, and she won the it's awesome, man. When we first met, we spar all the time and move our furniture. It was funny. It was pretty cool, man. She keeps me on my toes, man. That's how I stay sharp. Everybody thinks. You know, they say, oh, you got to stay ready. It's like, trust me, I stay ready all the time. Done with her. She don't play no games.
That's great.
Hey, yeah, Ray, I'm definitely going to, try to work it in my schedule one of these days I'm up there, man, to check you out, man. Because we're filming in North Philly a lot. So it wouldn't be anything just to go ahead and come check you out real quick. So
absolutely, man.
To hit you, bro.
You'll see how sharp I am. Yeah, you'll see how sharp I am with the pads, man. Yeah, man, I had telling everybody how I killed you, man. You'll love it, though. It's always fun, man.
Oh, no, I ain't getting in nothing, like, man. I'm the chisel, man. I can take pictures of you, bro. No, I ain't the ring, bro.
No, man, you'll love it, man. Hitting the bag,
Yo, man, I'm not messing with you. I'm a filmmaker now, man. I just train for the fun of it, bro. No, bro.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Nah, bags, man, don't hit back.
Only if I'm allowed to. Look, only if, hey, Bob, only if I'm allowed to kick you.
Right.
Well, only if I'm allowed to take a knee on with me now.
Yeah.
No, I ain't throwing hands.
Yeah,
man, I'll
yeah, definitely inbox me though, man. We'll definitely get together and that'd be some fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Great.
Definitely come check you out, man. I'm up there too much not to, bro. So
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for everything, man. You guys always have
okay, right.
I appreciate it, man. And
take care.
As soon as I win that title, I will make sure. I would love to be you guys to be my first do an interview with you guys. I really
Right after Jim Gray or whoever, but absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. So thank you guys.
Hey,
thank you.
Of luck,
hey, Ray.
Ray.
Take care of yourself.
All right, see you guys.
Good luck to you and family.
All right, bye.
Guys, we've come to the just about to the end of our hour here. We get their sign off, but Bob, I'm glad you joined us, and we look forward to seeing you every week.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. That was great.
And we appreciate your input, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thank you very much. Bye bye.
Okay, Ty, you want to lead us out?
Hey, it was a great show tonight. Always love talking to Ray. It wasn't until you kind of started telling his little bio that I recognized, damn, man, we've been doing this for, Z and I have been doing this now for 8 years, and Ray has been a part of all 8 of those years. So it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
We've kind of gone back and watched this kid grow into the mature fighter he is. So it's really a good conversation tonight. Thank you for bringing Bob on. He was great to talk to. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed talking to him. Always love talking to someone who knows the ins and outs of Muay Thai and kickboxing, because boxing is my first love, but Muay Thai, you know, is what I train. So
sure.
Really, really enjoy that. Great show. Butch, always a pleasure to talk to you. Dr. Chris, Zito, Brady, we're always thinking about you guys. Bob, Scooter, Carroll's our co-pilot. Coach Mel, we know you're watching us. Take care.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in a uniform, please acknowledge them. Let them know that you know they're there and that you appreciate their services. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Drummond Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Drummond Anafo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longwood County Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department. Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department. Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department. Patrolman Charles Hunt, Tarpon County Sheriff's Department. Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff. Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond. Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Arthur Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. Special FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio. Delaware State Trooper, Corporal Stephen Ballard. Kissimmee Patrol Officer, Matt Baxter. Kissimmee Sergeant, Sam Howard. Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department. Pasco County Deputy April Rodriguez. Officer Mike McGetter, Biloxi Police Department. And there's been since Wednesday, there's been four other officers shot. We'll be adding them to our list. Please, when you're out there, just keep a good thought in your prayer for the men and women in blue and green or brown, whatever uniform they wear. They're out there for you. So we appreciate everything. Ty, I really appreciate you being on each and every night with us, and we really appreciate you and Zito and Chris for everything they do. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our program. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezahir ma, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama.
Responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.